John chapter 4, and we're at the end of it, verse 17 through 21. And I think there's three words we never tire of hearing, right? I love you. If you're married, your wife wants to hear that continually every day, all day long, right? I mean, and even if you're not married, if you're single, you still want somebody even, you know, just to say, I love you. And I think it's important that we understand that when we walk into church on Sundays or we go into small groups or whatever, somebody needs to hear that they're loved. Because maybe they've had a bad day, you know. Maybe something's going on and we just like to hear that somebody loves us. And, you know, I have spoken that to my, I've tried to tell my wife that every day as many times as possible. I always tell her, I love you, gorgeous, right? And that's special between her and I. And I try to tell my young men, my old men, however they are. I guess they're old now, and not really. They're older. that they're loved. And I'm sure that sometimes we're sincere and sometimes we're not when we tell somebody we love them or we love something, right? Have you ever went to somebody's house for a meal and the first bite you took, you tried your hardest not to make a face and to, yeah, spit it out into a napkin or, yeah. And then you looked down on your plate and you went, oh, 34 more bites. And then you go, oh, I love this. Yeah. So you wouldn't break their heart or something like that. You know, speaking love is one thing, but, you know, showing love is another thing. I think true, genuine love is shown through our actions to one another. Love is action. I think it's an action thing. I'm not saying that in a bad way, because the world thinks that love is action in a bad way, right? They think it's eros love. But real love is agape love. And real love shows others that they are worthwhile and that they're loved as Christ loved us. I love the story of an elderly man who lost his wife of 70 years. He was blind. He could barely walk. He was being moved to a nursing home, and one thing that he learned to do was to love his wife, and of course she was no longer there to help nurse him and help him along, so his family decided to put him into a home. And as the nurse led him down the hallway to the room he was going to be in, he kept saying, oh, I'm going to love it, oh, I'm going to love it, oh, I'm going to love it. And the nurse stopped the wheelchair and she said, listen, you haven't even set foot into your room yet and you say, I'm going to love it. You're going to love it. What's amazing is what he said next. He said, you know what, it doesn't make any difference. He said, I decided I was going to like it and love it before we ever left my house. And sometimes we have to have that same kind of attitude, right? We have to apply that same kind of attitude. We're going to love those around us whether we've seen them or not, whether we know them or not. One thing is clear, we are coming close to the end when Jesus Christ is coming back. The world is trying to unite as one, right? You see it within our own country. The rest of the world, the European Union, other countries, they're coming on board to this uniting of one. As you guys are studying Revelations, you know, you understand the very facet that as the time of Jesus Christ comes back, the world must unite together. And someone's going to rise up to unite the world together. And there's so much fighting within our country because there are those of us believers, right? We are believers and we want to see the best. And of course, we don't want to unite with the world, right? We want to help the world. And it gets harder and harder and harder to have that love that God speaks about and John speaks about here in 1 John, right? There can be no doubt concerning the love of God for us. His love is genuine, right? His love is agape. It's like this unending love for us. Agape is this unending love for us. It's a love that you can experience, that you can know without a shadow of a doubt, because Christ resides in you and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit resides in each of every one of us. You see, the love that God showed us was Jesus Christ hanging on a cross for us, for our sins, dying for us on our behalf. What greater love is there than that, to see Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and to experience the genuine love that Christ has? And we can experience that love. And that's what John's going to talk. This text deals about how love affects our lives and the way that it is expressed to other people. How we express our love, right? As we come together in unity, I believe that God wants us to possess this great love, not only for those within the body of Christ, but those outside the body of Christ. Because it's evident that the body of Christ needs love, and they need evidence, right? I was watching a YouTube video, and there was this Christian guy who goes out, and he said he was talking about whether they knew God or wanted God, or were they atheists, or, you know, whatever. And most of everybody, you know, it was his clip, so he clipped in who it was. But all of the people that got clipped in said they were atheists. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe there was a God, or they believed there was a God, but he was a bad guy. They didn't want to love him, right? And so he said, if I gave you evidence, right? And I really believe it made me think about what we're going through here in the last part of 1 John, is that the world wants evidence that God loves them, that there is a God. They want evidence, right? They want to see it. They won't believe until they see it. And obviously the Bible tells us we've never seen God. We don't know who God is, but we do know who Jesus Christ was, because he was here on this earth and he died for us. There is evidence. So as we love, and we love in action, we have to love with, they have to see the evidence of love, right? They have to see that we truly love them for who they are. Because as believers, we can have confidence in love, right? John begins in verse 17, and we're going to go through verse 21 this morning, and as I've been doing in this series, I'm breaking down the scripture because I think it's important that we see what the different aspects of Scripture are. But John begins to show us what love's maturity is. And he says here in verse 17 in the first part, he says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." So John begins this out that the moment we are saved, our love that has been planted, his love that has been planted in us, grows and matures and it is made perfect. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness." You see, God's love inside of us matures as we walk this journey of faith with him. Who knows how great a love than those of us who have gone through things, you know, a few of us who are older and have gone through things in our life and understand how great God's love is and how we can trust him and we can have faith in him. Because see, God's love dwells in you and me. It's a part of who we are. And through that love, we can enjoy peace and rest and all kinds of stuff, right? And I know that we go through struggles in life. But I believe that that love that is inside of us helps us to overcome those struggles. And as we overcome struggles in our life, we become more mature. And that love in us is amped up, right? We get excited that we can maybe share the love of Jesus with somebody else. I get excited every time I get the opportunity with my neighbors, you know. It's amazing. It's amazing how God just does stuff. I was talking to my neighbor, Kevin, you know what, and he always asks, well, how is Zach doing? And so, you know, the other day I said, well, he's out of the hospital, been out of hospital for a week, and he's doing really well again. He goes, what happened? You know? What happened? I said, well, he got pneumonia, and they believe his pneumonia caused E. coli, and so he was in the hospital. And he goes, he was? I thought he was doing so well. Well, he is doing well. I said, you know what? Our church prayed hard. Our people prayed hard. We prayed hard, and we trusted God, and guess what? God moved. He's getting used to me now, and he goes, well, that's nice. That's nice. That's right. Every step closer, right? Because, you know what? We're coming to this place where they trust us, right? So when they leave, they go, here's my security code for my garage. Make sure, if you ever have to get in, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we're coming to that place. And so I'm not afraid, you know, I wasn't afraid to talk about Jesus before, but I have an assurance now that God has us in the right place and in the right motion. It's up to God to do the work. It's not up to me to convince him. God will convince him because the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit will lead him. I just have to love him for who he is, right? And who his wife is. Because John offers an interesting aspect of love. And it allows us to look towards the day of judgment, right? Jesus is going to judge us. Now you're going like, I didn't think of... Well, listen, the Bible tells us in Revelations that the good and the bad will be judged. Our judgment's going to be a little different. God's just going to say, I wish you would have done things a little differently. That's my version. But those who don't know Jesus Christ, obvious, the penalty for not accepting Jesus Christ is hell, right? That's the judgment. And I believe that there are a lot of people today who are scared to share that there is even a hell anymore. Because if we just rotate everything to that God is love and we don't give the aspect, because we know that God is love, we don't give the aspect that there is a judgment, that there is a place that people will go, then we kind of go like, well, we don't... Well, we can slack off a little bit. God never called us to be slackers. He called us to love this world, right? To love those in this world so that they can come into the kingdom. I don't think this scripture here reveals arrogance or pride, but I believe it gives us faith and assurance. We need faith and assurance today. A lot of people do. A lot of people struggle with assurance of our faith. A lot of people struggle with that aspect of, well, if I do this, well, God, does God really love me? Listen, God really loves you. If you have to tell yourself every day, you know, 5 minutes, every 5 minutes, God really loves me, God, then do it until you have that assurance. God, if you accepted Jesus Christ, then you can have assurance of your faith. You see, God's love was proven as Christ bore himself on the cross for our sin. And there's some assurance. Can you tell yourself something? I am made acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I am made acceptable. Sometimes we fear stuff, don't we? I made a mistake, we've asked forgiveness, but Satan's there, he's coming at us, he's going like, But you can tell him to take a hike, right? You can tell him that. Your future has changed because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Come on. Your future has changed because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes we need motivation. We have to remember how God's love is there, because in the middle of verse 17, he says this. He says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You see, who's accountable for our sin? Jesus Christ. He, when he died on the cross and we accepted him by faith, the blood of Jesus Christ covers all our sin. Wow. How amazing. You see, every time I think about that, every time I go through this scripture, every time I look at this, I go, I've been pardoned. I have been forgiven of my sin. My debt has been paid in full. Makes me get happy feet, right? We should have happy feet. We should get excited. We have not made it to heaven, but we are viewed as righteous through Jesus Christ. And I'm sure glad of that, because you know what? I'm surely not righteous all the time. I missed the boat. And I think here's an aspect of John's teaching we must not miss. Christ was in the world, and so we are expected to be in the world. That doesn't imply that we will achieve perfection as Christ enjoyed, or we will possess the ability to love as he loved, but we are to strive for that. Our lives are to be a representation of Jesus Christ, including our love for one another. We are to maintain a consistent witness for Christ our Lord, right? You see, many of you, maybe you know this or not, but, you know, I'm a part of different AG groups, pastors groups and stuff, and this last week, the North Texas District had to intervene in one of their churches because they've decided they're going to be all-inclusive. You know what that means? That means we're going to accept everybody and anybody, right? We accept everybody and anybody, but the problem is they're going to accept their sin just for who they are, no matter what they claim to be, right? Homosexuality, transgenderism, all those kinds of things, and they're going to allow them in leadership, and they're going to allow them to be pastors, and they're going to allow them. My first thought was to pray for them. Right? We don't exclude anybody who walks in these doors. But just because we may look normal or act normal doesn't mean that we have sin in our life that we need to get rid of, right? Some people wear their sin on the outside, others wear their sin on the inside. We love anyone. But sin is sin is sin is sin, right? And we have to know the difference of what sin really is. Man, I know I'm getting deep here today, but it's important, right? We can cover up a lot of stuff, but we have to know that sin is sin is sin is sin. And I know that sounds crazy, but we have to. We have to know what's right according to God's word. You see, that's why I tell you over and over again, know your theology. Know your theology. They're continuing to walk in sin. And that's the difference. Instead of repenting and changing. Well, it's the church continued to grow and grow and grow. And what happened is that they decided in the board and the pastor decided after reading different various books on the subjects of homosexuality, transgenderism, all kinds of things. Not a Christian, right? Not a Christian writer. And he read several books and he came to the conclusion that God's love somehow changes, that sin somehow changes, and that it's okay to be who you are with no consequences. Right? So, the Bible tells us there are consequences to sin. Right? And so, somebody had to pay the price, and Jesus paid the price for us. But if we continue to sin, willfully knowing that we're taking advantage of the covering of grace, right? You see, there's the difference. If I confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boom. You've done something wrong, you've asked God for forgiveness, you move on. But now, there are those who say, in this world, and it's going to get worse, you're right, that you don't have to do that, that you can be whoever you want to be, you can sin and do whatever you want to do, right? Just as the Gnostics, see, John is talking to the Gnostics. You know who the Gnostics were? They're a group of people who said, once you've accepted Jesus Christ, you can go on and continue to sin and do whatever you want. Because the price has been paid. But see, that's wrong. And so now in our country, we see the same thing happening, right? God loves you. And I'm not trying to sit here. You're going, it's running through your head going, oh man, I have all these friends, they believe in God, but yet... That's right.
All the cults and stuff have changed the teaching. They go along the truth, but they spin off. So, you know, one of the things is to line up with the Word of God. He hasn't changed. Uh-huh. So.
Does God love everybody who sins?
Yes.
Come on. God loves everybody who sins, right? He wants them to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But as I read the Word of God, the Word of God tells me that when we become new creations, something happens inside of us, and we change. Know your theology. Because they're going to tell you that, you know how when you watch TV and you see a commercial and they keep showing it to you over and over again, right? And eventually you believe it? No. Sometimes. But for my point, you understand. Some people do, right?
Yes, exactly. Some people do.
Yes, Amy.
No matter how many supplements I'm going to be, I'm not going to have the muscles.
That's right. Of what the, of what truth is. Our colleges and universities today are nothing but think tanks to tell the world that there is no God. Right? But there is a God. That's why, as I began this, the world has to see the evidence of who Jesus Christ is in us. And you can feel him, and you can experience him, and you can trust in him, right?
Exactly.
You see, I want the world to know that I believe in the God that is the God of truth, right? You know that I believe this is God's word and that we must live our life by this word. Not everybody believes that this is a good thing anymore. There are churches all across our country who don't believe that this is a good thing anymore. God didn't know what he was, you know, that was for then. It's not for today. Our things have changed, right? One of the arguments from the pastor of that church was that what was then and what was written then really has no relevance today.
Baloney.
Because things have changed and the world has changed, and so we have to kind of go along with it. Baloney. I'm going to ask you something, Crystal. Pressure's on. I really appreciate what you said a couple weeks ago, okay? How do you know that you're loved? Yeah, he's real, right? See, we need to represent that realness to those who don't know Jesus. Because the younger generation, you know what they're looking for? Realness. They want realness. They want to know for sure that they're accepted. And listen, we accept them. We love people of any generation. We love people. And you see, our love for people doesn't stop just because they may have done something wrong. Instead, our love for them, we should impress the love of Christ even more and tell them how much God loves them even more. You didn't walk your way to the place where you are today just like that. Sometimes on a journey of faith, it takes time for somebody to go, well, that's wrong now. You know, they read the word, and the word becomes alive in their heart, and they go like, oh. The Holy Spirit goes, and you have that aha moment like you did a couple weeks ago, right? You go, well, ah. You get excited. We must maintain a consistent witness for Jesus Christ, for God. Because listen, we can have courage in love. Do you know that? In verse 18, John says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. See, there's no fear in love. God's love conquers all fear. While living in sin apart from God, our lives were dominated by fear. we're kind of unsure of our future. But genuine love helps us to overcome our fears. You see, the love of God has removed fear from my life. I don't have to fear anymore. God has secured my future. God has secured your future. Come on, amen, hallelujah. God has secured your future. I am secure in Jesus Christ. Whatever happens, I am secure in Jesus Christ. Often love is withheld because something is expected in return. You see, the world, if love is offered, something is expected in return for it. But God's love, there is no expectation of return. He loves us unconditionally. Because he loves us so much, it allows us to love others sacrificially. Because our love is not dependent upon what we receive in return or fearful of loss. We love others as God loved us. Because that's what the word says. Because in that second part, he talks about power. But perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. The love of God is a powerful force in our life. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, he rises up above fear and it establishes us to cast out fear and cast it aside. You no longer have to fear the future, our future, because we know what the future is, right? God wins.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's what the book of Revelations, you guys are going to get to the end and all of a sudden it's going to pop out like neon lights. God wins, God wins, God wins. Courage in love. Because here's the principle, right? There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because there's power in love, right? Our lives should not be dictated by situations and circumstances, but by the love of God. But by the love of God. Many live their lives driven by emotion and circumstance. And they tend to respond to others relative to how they were treated. But God's love provides the courage to open up and love as he loves, regardless of the circumstance. John declares that fear brings torment, and one cannot enjoy peace and rest while living in fear. Fear creates this. Write these down. Fear creates anxiety, because they're not going to be up here. Not going to be up on the PowerPoint. Fear creates anxiety. A-N-X-I-E-T-Y. Doubt, panic, and worry. Anxiety, doubt, panic, and worry. You know what these are signs of? They're signs of weakness in our love for God. Now, sometimes there are things in our life that we're scared of, right? We can be scared. I don't like snakes, so in a way I'm kind of scared of snakes, right? I'm not too fond of when you're up high in a mountain and there's no guardrails and you know, it's like 500 feet down, and right? I'm not too cool of being on the side of the car where you're having to look down and there's like this much side, you know.
That's divine wisdom.
That's divine wisdom, yes. Sometimes things happen, we can be scared, but we should never fear.
Right.
You know, fear casts anxiety and doubt and all kinds of stuff inside of us. And I'm not here this morning to if you have anxiety, I have compassion for that. But I think that the cure for that is assurance and faith. I can still be afraid, right? I can be afraid of lots of things if I allow myself to, but God's love allows us to rest solely in Him and loving others as He loves and leaving the situations and conclusions in God's hands. See, I don't know what's going to happen with my neighbor Kevin and Mary, but all I know is that I'm praying and hoping that someday he'll come to know Jesus Christ. Come on. I'm praying and hoping. I have to leave the conclusion to God, because God's the one, His Spirit's the one who's going to draw them in, right? He's the one who's going to draw in our neighbors across the street. He's the one who's going to draw in the Kevin across the street. I have a Kevin over here, and I have a Kevin over here, and I haven't met a couple of the people on the houses over here. Maybe one of them's a Kevin. I don't know. Maybe God has me ministering to Kevins. But at the end of verse 18, he says, "He that fears is not made perfect in love." That's a hard statement, right? And this brings conviction because it bears truth. Where fear exists, love is lacking. Write that down. Where fear exists, love is lacking. Well, what is fear? Somebody tell me what fear is. That's a good question. What is fear? Scared of the unknown? Anybody else? What is fear? Zachary, look it up on your phone. Give me the definition of fear. No, that's all right. It's a great, how do we learn, how do we learn and grow? By asking questions, right? What is fear? What does afraid mean? We have lots of words in our English language that mean almost the same thing, right?
Yeah.
What does afraid mean? Almost, right? Basically. So what is God saying to us?
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Trust
in Him. Have faith in Him. Have assurance in Him. Rest in Him.
That's why you call on Him when you're that way.
That's right. Have peace in Him. No, you're not weird. We're all weird. Look at this scripture, right? Here's where your belief system has to come in. This is a belief system. You're believing. He that fears is not made perfect in love. He's talking about our position of faith. He's talking about how much we trust God, how much we believe in Him. Do we have confidence? Do we have confidence in our salvation? Do we even want to belong to Christ? Do we fear His coming? Do you fear His coming back for us?
No.
We shouldn't. We should embrace it, right?
Like you said, running along that cliff, I don't like that. But I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking about that.
So, let's say you hiccuped and you went over the cliff. So, the question is, do you have assurance that you know where you're going?
Yep.
Okay. So, if an accident happened, right? Do you know where you're going?
Yeah.
Yep, I'm going to heaven.
Right.
I'm going to be with Jesus.
So
we don't want accidents to happen. We don't want bad things to happen. But when they do, where's our assurance?
In Jesus.
Right? We have an assurance of faith. We trust in Him. Right? When Zachary went into the hospital, right, all we could do was trust God. All we could do is have faith in God. All we could do is have an assurance, right? It was up to God. Listen, When you're put into a situation and all you have is God, that's a good thing.
Exactly.
That is a good thing. Because he loves you. Yes. You fear him in a different way.
Yeah,
a respect,
yeah.
Right? Good, great, Amy.
I do want to go to heaven, and I do want to serve God. And I've been thinking a lot about my life lately, and I'm like, I feel like I'm not worthy enough to praise him. And then I keep telling myself, that's just the devil putting that in my head. But I know I am worthy enough to praise him. And I have to keep reminding myself that I need to have that fear, but it's a love fear.
To fear God, will you answer that? Great, great.
Yeah. When I was a boy, I feared my father.
Yeah.
Because I knew if I crossed the line, he would discipline me.
Yeah.
And it would not be pleasant.
Right, me too.
But I was not afraid of him.
Right, yeah.
Because I knew that as long as I obeyed him, that he loved me.
Yeah.
And he took care of me.
Yeah.
And he protected me.
Yeah.
And that's the same way it is with God.
Right.
Yeah.
You can fear him because he's awesomely powerful.
Yes.
And our life is in his hands and
yeah.
is within his abilities to punish us when we transgress him.
Yeah.
But we do not have to be afraid of him because he loves us.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? That was a great illustration. There it is. And fear, yeah, he does.
That's exactly what he did to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Until the month before she died, she just said, I'm not going to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to come to Jesus with my memories. She finally got it through her thick little Oklahoma skull.
And isn't it amazing we can live our whole life and still have those doubts? Right? She was 92? 95, right.
At 95, and she'd been sick when she was early, young. But it just ate her up until a month before she died.
Right. You see this? What's John? John is in the scriptures telling, have an assurance. Confidence, right? God's love, we should have, because God, number three is the character of love, right? We must understand God's character of love. In verse 19, he says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us, right? This is an attribute that we must take on. We love him because he first loved us. And the evidence is Jesus Christ. The evidence is Jesus Christ in the crucifixion of Christ and him rising again on the third day. He made the way for our salvation. And he offers us eternal life. Had he not loved us and gave himself for us, we could never have loved him. We could never have loved him. That's why John says, we love him because he first loved us. We need that. Because he goes on in verse 20 and says, the first part he says, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now he's changing, right? He's saying, okay, I'm adding something on. If you love God, you can't hate people. Because if you say you love God and you hate your brother or sister or whoever, you are a liar. That is simple. And then in the last part of verse 20, he goes on to say, let me start up in verse 20 in the beginning again. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Right? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. You've never seen God. But why do you believe he is who he is? Because he loves us, right? If we possess love for God, love for our brother will be evident as well. It's that simple. And then in verse 21, here's the submission. John says this, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Right? Our love for one another isn't optional. And I know that's hard. I'm not going to stand here this morning and tell you that that is easy, because it's not. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes us trusting God on our part, right? To let people go. If they don't love us, then, oh, okay, I'm just going to stop then. No. God tells us that just because we get something, we give something, and we don't get it in return, we're supposed to stop, right? We're supposed to love one another as ourselves. And those who hate you, right? To love them. Love them for who you are, right? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother. Because in John, go to the book of John. I'm going to end with this. The book of John, chapter 13. The book of John, chapter 13. Jesus says here, he's giving a new commandment. Verse 34 and 35. Right? And this is the principle of love. If you go over to verse 31... this section is about Jesus predicts Peter's denial, right? And he says, when he was gone, Jesus said, now this is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify the Son in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. And then he throws this in, right? Verse 34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, and so you must love one another. Here it is. Here's the evidence, right? Verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Because here then Simon Peter and all his brashness and He goes, Lord, where are you going? And he said, where I'm going, you can't come. And then at the end, he says, hey, Peter, guess what? After the rooster crows three times, you won't. I'm going to pray this week for you that if you're struggling in that in this area of love, that God will embolden you and fill you with a new belief system, a new avenue to love those who you may struggle with. You know, the scripture, 1 John is full of scripture that many don't want to hear today. But I think it's time for those across our great country to rise up, pastors to rise up and start preaching how God loves them. And yes, if you don't love him back, there's a consequence. Billy Graham used to start out with pretty much every message. Guess what? God loves you. But if you don't love him, you're going to hell, right? Can you imagine if pastors rose up? You know Franklin Graham right now? Franklin Graham isn't being allowed to have services in England right now. Seven different venues have shut him down because the LGBTQ2 or whatever it's called is putting pressure on those places to not allow anti-hate. God doesn't hate anybody. That's what John just said, and neither should we, right? So we just continue to pray. Father God, thank you for your word. I thank you for the interaction today. How amazing was your Holy Spirit that we could learn together, that we could take the scripture so that we could apply it to our lives. And I pray that today those who are here will be encouraged. That Father God, the enemy, Satan, will want to discourage them. But instead, I pray that your prayer, through the prayer this morning, that the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit will encourage them to know without a shadow of a doubt that because of Jesus Christ who lives in them, Father, all things are possible. Thank you, God, today. We love you. We're amazed by you. And I just ask that, Father God, those here today will go out and be the evidence of God's love. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.